Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Early on, in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him in Hebrew and said, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, I love you. We love you. We thank you for being our risen Savior, our Lord that has all power. Lord, I'm a broken vessel. I'm a sinner saved by your grace, but I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Hide this preacher behind the cross that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, because he lives. Because he lives. It was 24 years ago, February 27th, 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, that Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth Dillo later wrote, I couldn't even describe to you the grief and the shock that I went through. For 3 days, I wept in denial. I couldn't believe it. How could this happen to me? For 3 days, I expressed anger and loss and thought that I was going to lose my mind. For 3 days, people tried to comfort me, but to no avail. I couldn't be consoled. The grief was too great. Have you ever been there? You've lost a loved one, and just overwhelmed with grief. You don't want to talk to anybody. You're just trying to get through it the best that you know how. And that's where Miss Dillo was. But after those 3 days, something interesting happened. The telephone rang. And when she picked it up, the voice on the other end says, Mama, I'm not dead, I'm alive. She says, What? Mama, it's me. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I know they called you, but they got it wrong. There's a guy in the unit that has the same first and last name that I have. Mama, I'm alive. Ms. Dillo says, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to laugh. I wanted to cry. I wanted to do a cartwheel. I didn't know what to do. But my son, who I thought was dead, is really alive. And she writes, I'm sure none of you will understand what I felt that day. The scripture that was just read in your hearing, I believe that the disciples understood what Miss Dillo went through. I believe that Mary understood. Just imagine with me that she saw him beaten. She saw him crucified. She was probably there when they put him in the tomb. And it took 8 to 10 men to roll that stone across the tomb. She was there. And now, she don't know where they've laid her Lord. But let me go back to the story for just a minute. We know that when word came to the disciples, Peter and John, on hearing the news, they took off running. Now, the scripture didn't say that Peter was a slowpoke, but it did say that John got there first. But he waited. Peter goes in. We have to use our imagination. I imagine that he began to inspect things. You know how we play Columbo. And he's looking at where they've laid this cloth. And he noticed the napkin for the head is rolled up, but it's in another spot. And he's looking around. And then John comes in and he looks around. But notice what the scripture says. They saw and believed. They saw and believe. Do you believe in a risen Savior today? Are you living for Him? What is it going to take for us to believe in a risen Savior? What will it take for us to know that He lives never to die again? You see, back then, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they had put word out that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. He was not resurrected, but that somebody had stolen His body. That's word on the street. But can I play detective? Will you play detective with me? They look inside the tomb, and there are his grave clothes. If they stolen the body, why would they leave the grave clothes behind? The grave clothes consisted of four pieces of white linen material, each of them about 14 feet long. And then you had the head for his napkin, the napkin for his head. This material was very expensive in this day. So I ask again, if they've stolen his body, why would they leave this material behind? Let me take you back to a story when Jesus raised Lazarus for just a minute. He calls forth, "Lazarus, come forth." Remember, Lazarus came forth. He's wrapped in this linen that I was just talking about, hand and foot, napkin still around his head. And Jesus set him free to be alive in this world. But Lazarus had to die again. When we go back to the tomb and we notice that this material is there, it signifies that Jesus' body was not stolen, but indeed that he has risen, never to take on grave clothes ever again. He's resurrected, my friends. He's resurrected. And where he is, he has all power. Amen? Not some power. I said all power. Amen? Let's flash forward. Mary is weeping because Jesus died and she doesn't know where the body is. Maybe one of the stages of grief is that we got to get to that place of acceptance. Maybe when we first hear it, we're in denial. We're bargaining. We're angry. You know, we don't know what to do. And we've got to get to that place of acceptance. Mary is not weeping anymore because Jesus is dead. She's accepted the fact that he's dead. She's weeping because she don't know where they've laid his body. But when Mary goes to the tomb, what she saw, what she encountered was very different what John and Peter encountered. She saw two angels whose garments were brilliant white. The angels were compassionate towards her. And they asked, "Why are you weeping?" Mary says, "They've taken my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him." Let me digress for just a minute. Grief is a powerful emotion. It's a powerful emotion that can sometimes distort our perception of things. Grief can magnify our past. Grief can distort the present and overshadow the future. I imagine that she was preoccupied with the thoughts of the loved one. Jesus had loved her. He had helped her. He had changed her life. She had spent time with him. And maybe, like many of us, she just wanted to see him one more time, dead or alive. Maybe she just wanted to reminisce about his teaching right there with him one more time. You know how it is when a loved one dies. We want to hear their voice one more time. We want to hear their laughter one more time. I imagine, because I have to use my imagination, I imagine that her eyes are puffy from crying for 3 days. She's still thinking, how is she going to make it without him? It distorted her perception. Jesus was right in front of her. And he says, "Who are you looking for?" She thought that he was a gardener. She said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've laid him." Jesus calls her by name. Mary. And when he called her by name, I imagine that her joy returned. I imagine that her anger left. I imagine that her tears dried up, her hopes restored. In that moment, she knew that Jesus is alive. When Jesus called her by her name, she knew joy beyond belief. Her heart leaped within her chest because she had longed to hear the Master's voice one more time. My friend, Jesus is the great shepherd, and he knows each of us by name. Resurrection means that Jesus is never far away from us. You see, he's omnipresent. I can pray with you, and I can pray with you even if you're at home. And no matter where we are, the Spirit can be there. Are you with me? Jesus is amazing. But resurrection means that God is faithful. And Jesus is alive, as the Father had promised, as Jesus foretold. And because he lives, we can face the uncertainties of tomorrow. My friend, because he lives, our love in Christ is never lost. The Gospel of John says it this way: fret not thyself because of evildoers. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. My friends, when we leave this world, we will be with him. Those who know him. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because he lives, we have hope beyond the grave. Because he lives, we are eternally bound to a God who loves us. The Apostle Paul says it this way in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2. He states that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for joy set before him, he endured the cross. You see, God the Father designed the course, but Jesus ran the race, and he ran it perfectly. Jesus did everything that the Father wanted him to do. It begs the question, do we do everything that the Father wants us to do, even when we don't want to do it? Jesus says, if this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Will we trust God with our lives? Will we trust him? Because he can't fail. And Jesus knew that. He ran his race flawlessly. And we ought to run our race just as he did. No matter how difficult the course, no matter how difficult the task, we must run our race just like Jesus. We must keep pace and go the distance of life. Because he lived, Jesus could truly say, I will be with you even unto the ends of the earth. Because he lives, we don't run the race alone. The battle is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. Would you join hands with the person next to you? The reason why we do this, we never know what the person next to us is going through. And yet, when we hold hands, we can be in agreement with one another. We can call upon God to bless our neighbors, to bless us, to meet our needs. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we love you so much And we thank you, Lord, for dying for us. Scripture says that even while we were yet sinners, you died for us, provided a way for us to be in fellowship with you and with the Father. And then you're so gracious that you sent us the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Lord, I don't know what folks have come in today with, but I pray that you might take it. I pray that you might lift everyone's countenance. I pray that folks would leave here today with their joy full, knowing that you have all power, knowing that you have a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. And I want to say this. If you don't know him as Lord, you don't have to leave today without knowing him. And if you would repeat this prayer after me, you will have him. Dear God, come into my life. Give my life meaning. And give my life purpose. I believe you died for me. And provide a way for me. I confess my sins. Lord, I need you. Come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.